But I don't think I could today. Good morning again. We try to recognize the members of our church, and this week we lost a dear member of our church, Mr. Ralph Rogers. In fact, I got two calls back to back within minutes of people who had deceased, and Ralph was one of those. He'll be laid to rest, of course, this Tuesday. But let us stand together and have a moment of silence in remembrance of one of our deceased members, Mr. Brother Ralph Rogers. Amen. If you'll be reading along today, we're going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 11. This is called the Book of Faith, the chapter of Hebrews that has the theme of faith and talks about patriarchs and all the heroes of the faith down through the ages. There's one man that it mentions here we're going to talk about today is, the Bible doesn't say a great deal about him, but what it says is pretty unique. Pretty unique. And his name is Enoch. Enoch. Let's read chapter 11 of Hebrews, verses 1 through 6, and try to get some insight upon this mysterious character in the Bible by the name of Enoch. The scripture reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Remember that part. "For by faith the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet he speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Verse 5, one of the few verses in the Bible that talks about this man named Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But all we know about him is that he pleased God. Isn't that amazing? So we want to speak to you today on the subject of a life that is pleasing to God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the written word. Thank you, dear Lord, for the Holy Spirit that speaks to us through and in your word. I pray that you would bless us today as we are gathered together to hear the Word of God, dear Lord. Help us to respond appropriately and help us to take inventory. Am I living a life that is pleasing to God, or am I seeking to please myself? Am I seeking to please others, or am I trying to please God? Lord, I pray for those families that have lost their loved ones and those who are struggling with life and death at this moment. I pray for the sick of our church. We pray, Lord, that you would bless and get honor and glory. And I pray that you would add to the church today such as should be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. He had this testimony. One thing we know about, we don't know a great deal about the life of Enoch, but the Bible says this we do know, that he had this testimony that he pleased God. And apparently that's a good thing. Amen? An epitaph on his tombstone, if he had one, would be, he pleased God. I spent a lot of time in cemeteries, have done a few funerals in my time, and I've read some unique, and I still do, because I spend time in the city cemetery, and I read old grave markers, and some of them are quite interesting what they say. And some of them I remember. You know, it just speaks to you. And different things. I remember reading one in Blues Chapel. It was a young man that had deceased, didn't even know who he was or anything, but it, no doubt his mother had this inscript wrote on that tomb, and it says, "Somebody's darling lies sleeping here." Touching, isn't it? There's one at Camden that got my attention, and I guess he maybe died of some kind of fever or some bone, and says, "Afterlife's fitful fever," "Afterlife's fitful fever, he rests well." On Enoch's tombstone, it would say simply, "He pleased God." You know, the Bible says that because it pleased God, he chose that by the foolishness of preaching. You know, God doesn't have to give an explanation to us if it pleases God. And I'm going to tell you, we couldn't wish and aim for anything greater than that we could have it be said about us that he pleased God. That's sufficient. That's enough. All we know about him in the New Testament here is it says that he was translated. What's that mean? And you might find this story interesting. That means, and we know that the Bible says and that death is appointed all of us, and after death there's a judgment. We have an appointment with death, and after this a judgment. There are two unique individuals in the Scripture. Two unique individuals. Enoch is one of them, and Elijah the prophet, which apparently did not die the natural death. And I don't ask me to explain all about that. I just know what the Word of God says, and I believe it. We read about this man, what very little is said about him in the book of Genesis, but the writer of Hebrews just simply says, he pleased God, and that was good enough. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, which means beginnings, chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, we try to understand what happened to this man. It says, Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God. After he begot Methuselah, 300 years, and begot sons and daughters. So he had a consistent 300 years of walking with God. That means he had fellowship with God. he is pleasing to God. He walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And then it drops this little bomb on you. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And the New Testament says that God translated him. God took him. He went to be with God without dying the natural death here. The exception to that rule, because he walked with God, because he pleased God. The Bible doesn't owe us an explanation for that. He pleased God, and it pleased God to translate him. You see, God created man for fellowship originally, and that fellowship was broken because of sin. Here is a man. We know that Noah also found grace in the eyes of God, but Noah had some issues too. But Enoch pleased God in such a fashion that God translated him, and he did not die the natural death, that God took him to be with him. What an amazing story. Don't ask me to explain all of it. You know, people can put a spin on it. A lot of people smarter than me can figure these things out, but I don't try to figure everything out in the Word of God. I just try to believe it and accept it. It pleased God. God doesn't owe me an explanation for why he chooses to do these things. But it is written in the Word of God. And Jesus said we must, what, live by part of the Word of God? No, he said, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is important. Can't live by bread alone, but by every word. Today, people want to pick and choose the parts that they like and leave out the other. But Jesus said every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So he had this testimony that he pleased God. Can you believe that today? Can you believe the Word of God? Can you believe that? Or others look for explanations and try to explain that away. Say, well, he really died. It just means that he went on. It was a fancy way of saying that he died suddenly and then went to be with the Lord. Hey, not what it says, not what the writer of Hebrews says, that he was translated. And it says the reason being that he pleased God. About all we know about him, we don't know his details other than he walked with God for 300 years. Wow, what an incredible journey, you know, to walk with God for 300 years. And there must be lots of things. There's a lost book of Enoch that is quoted in the New Testament. But we don't really have that book as a part of the canon that we recognize as the inspired Word of God. So there's a bit of mystery about this man, but yet it speaks volumes about his life that he walked with God for 300 years. What a consistent life, pleasing to God for 300 years, and he pleased God so that God translated him. And all we have left about his memory is we know this. We don't know the details of all about the ins and outs, but we know this by the book of Genesis, said he walked with God for 300 years. The New Testament writer says about all we know about this mysterious man was that he pleased God. Wow. To be able to have that written upon your tombstone for your epitaph, would be a bold statement on our behalf, wouldn't it? You know, I don't know if we would have the gumption to do that, that it would be presumptuous maybe for us to even wish to desire that. God will be the judge as to how well or not we pleased Him. And it won't matter really what we write down there, but God has the final say. A life that is pleasing to God. I was happy this morning when I asked Casey, and a couple of weeks ago we asked him how he felt about baptism and joining the church, and he said, I'll think about it, and today I was happy to hear him say that he had thought about it, and I'm sure he consulted with his parents, and he has decided that he does want to be baptized next Sunday evening for the service, and we look forward to that. The life of Christ, He always did the things that please God. You know, you can choose to please yourself, and that's what's happening in our culture today. It's all about me and what I get out of this and what's in it for me. We can choose to try to please people where that is impossible, and a lot of people are running in circles today trying to please others and trying to plan their life based upon what other people perceive about me, what are they seeing in me, and all these things. That's a futile attempt. You will never be able to please people. And we studied about St. Paul in Sunday school, and ironically in Bible study Tuesday and Wednesdays, and the thing about Paul was he didn't go down that road. I'm not in this to try to please people. Don't want to offend people on purpose, but, you know, my calling is that I'm not called to try to be a people pleaser. Number one, he had a good understanding that you can't do that to start with. But it is our goal and our calling to try to please God. We are in it to please God. So, if you're trying to please yourself, that is selfish. And that certainly is not pleasing to God for us to be selfish. God first, others second, and self third, always. Jesus lived a life always that pleased God. In the person of Jesus Christ, there is perfection. In Him was found no guile, no sin. Not one. He was perfection. He lived the law. The law was good, and it points out and makes us aware of our sins. That's what the law does. But the weakness of the law was that it did not empower people to be able to keep it. You know, it would tell you what to do, but there was really not the how to do. Well, there are suggestions. Write it on your forehead. Write it on your wrist. You know, have it on your doorpost. Reminders. Those are reminders that might be helpful mechanisms, but the power to perform it. How do we do these things? And that was the weakness of the law. And so it was good. It gave us people a standard of what God requires, but again, how to do it. How to do it. And that was the problem. Nobody could do it. Before the new covenant and before the law was phased out, it had to be lived. And nobody could live up to it. They're great characters in the Bible, you know. Joseph, great man of ethically, morally, you know, you really got to look for a better character than Joseph. But he wasn't perfect. He toyed with his brothers. He told them dreams and all that made them jealous of him. And you could say maybe he egged them on. He wasn't perfect. Pretty good. but he wasn't perfect. King David was a man after God's own heart that God chose. He was the greatest king of the monarchy. But yet he sinned. And because of his sin and shedding much blood, chiefly that of Uriah the Hittite, he was, what, forbidden to build the temple. Solomon comes along, that gift is his. He is a good man, tender-hearted, he builds the temple, but yet in his old age he sinned. For it says that outlandish women did cause even him to sin. So all these characters have flaws in them. They're not perfect. And Jesus, when he comes on the scene and they say, "You have come to do away with things here." No, I've not come to destroy the law. You're breaking the law. You're touching lepers and you're doing all these things. You're healing on the Sabbath day and you've come to revolutionize things and to do away with the law. No, not to do away with, because not one jot or tittle of the law will not go undone. But he said, "I have come to fulfill. I've come to do what no other man has been able to do. None." And Jesus Christ was perfection. And he lived up to the very high standard of the law. The law gives you something to shoot for, doesn't it? But it didn't give you the power. And what we have today is what the Holy Spirit equips, empowers. The saints of God are equipped with the power of God. Claim your power if you're saved. Walk in the Spirit. Be empowered to live by the standards of God. I know we all fail and come short, but we are equipped to do it. The Holy Spirit can help you get it done. The Holy Spirit can help you lead a life that is pleasing to God. He can. Jesus always lived the life that pleased God. Jesus, being about 30 years old, adulthood for a Jewish man in that culture, goes to John the Baptist at the Jordan River and submits himself to baptism. John the Baptist says, under protest, "I will baptize you because I need to be baptized of you." And Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so, for thus it's important for me to fulfill all righteousness." And this is important for me to do this for a testimony. And the Bible says, under protest, that John the Baptist suffered him and baptized him that day in the Jordan River. In Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17, says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit." John the Baptist saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and the voice from heaven says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." I hope that it can be said about us today. A life that is pleasing to God. At the baptism, the voice said, "This is my Son in whom not only I'm pleased, but well pleased, well pleased." What an example we have. Matthew chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. After running in in conflict with some of these religious leaders, the Pharisees. Verse 14 says, "And the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, how they might destroy him." He'd been healing on the Sabbath day and doing those things. "And when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled." Listen to this part. "Which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet," Isaiah, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he shall send forth judgment into victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased." Isaiah prophesied of the Messiah, and one of his characteristics would be, "In whom my soul delighteth," Isaiah said, "in whom I am well pleased." My soul is well pleased. Jesus pleased the Father. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 29, "And he that sent me is with me." There were people who constantly challenged Jesus. You know, it's kind of strange to us that the church at Corinth would challenge St. Paul, again, from Sunday school, Bible study. It's no big matter, is it? For remember, they challenged Jesus too. "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always the things that please him." I do always the things that please him. A consistent life. And Jesus said, "I don't some days do the things that please the Father, but I do always." What a statement. Perfection. Our Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, and he did not part of the days, not the days that he felt good, not on a good day, but every day, always the things that are pleasing to the Father. Do we always please the Lord? Probably not. Probably not. But we have an example, don't we? We have an example. And Jesus said that we should strive, you know, to enter in. We have been empowered by the gift of the Holy Spirit, to which we need to claim that power and to utilize it. And we need to strive. We need to strive to always do the things that are pleasing to God, and not settle for second best. You know, not settle for saying, "Oh, we all sin and come short of the glory of God," is not meant to be an excuse or a license to continue to fail. You know, we are to try to do better. We are to strive. We are to follow the example of Jesus, who always, always did the things that please the Father. So our Lord was perfection. He always did the things that pleased the Heavenly Father. What an example that you and I have. Admittedly, we don't always do that. But we can. We certainly can. We have been empowered. We have been given resources. The Word of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit. the book of 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. John said, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." You know, we need to make a habit of doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. Listen to that again. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments. There's a connection with keeping the commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. You know, our actions and our life, and we're talking about a life that is pleasing to God, and this is His command. Well, commandments, keeping the command. What commandments? That we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. And he that keepeth His commandment dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He has given us. We do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We have to attempt to do the things that are pleasing. We know if we're saved, we know the things that are pleasing to God. And if you don't, John says here that the things that are pleasing to God is that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. That'll get you a long ways. That'll get you a long ways down the road to pleasing God. Is my life pleasing to God? The book of Hebrews here talks about this mysterious man by the name of Enoch that we know very little about. We know he lived a long time, and we know that he walked with God for 300 years. And then finally the New Testament says here that he had this testimony that he leaves behind. Just simply, he pleased God. Enough said. Enough said. So, what are we striving for? Building kingdoms and building empires and doing things and conquering and all. When all that's important is, you know, all these things will go by the wayside. But the most important thing, and the things is important that we just simply have this testimony that He pleased God. We want to be remembered, you know, about great things and all these things. But the greatest thing that could be said about us was He lived a life that was pleasing to God. That's what it says about Enoch. How do you do that? Well, it says Enoch walked with God for 300 years. That's a long time he walked with the Lord. That tells us that he had a consistent life of pleasing God. And in the end, his testimony is that he pleased God. And then it says there in verse 6, you know, we're also talking about pleasing God. But without faith, which is the subject of chapter 11 in Hebrews, Enoch pleased God, but without faith it's impossible to please. So how can I please God? By believing in the name of His Son, by loving one another, but it says it's impossible to please God without faith. Without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seeking. We must be a people of faith. Jesus said, if you have faith as a little grain of mustard seed, you know, all it takes is a little faith. Faith in what today, Pastor? What are you talking about? I'm talking to you about faith in Jesus Christ. I'm talking to you about saving faith in Jesus. What about Jesus? That He is who He says He is. Who did He say He is? The Son of God. Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? We ask people, are you a Christian? What does that mean? That we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus was God. That Jesus came and lived a life of perfection. Fulfilled the law. Gave Himself to be crucified. Died and was buried and rose again. He died for our justification, and He rose again for our justification. And if we can believe in His death, burial, and resurrection, we're not just found okay in the eyes of God, but we are found justified by the blood of Jesus. Do you have faith that is pleasing to God today? Don't underestimate yourself. Don't underestimate yourself. It only takes a little bit of faith, Jesus said, just like a grain of a mustard seed. The Bible in the Old Testament, speaking of this new way of faith, the new covenant, it says a way and a highway would be provided that whereby men, though wayfaring fools, would not err therein. Just a little faith. Can you muster a little faith if you're lost today and to believe His Word, believe that Jesus was who He said He was, believe that He died for your sins and that He rose for your justification, and that today He is seated at the right hand of God in heaven, where He is there to make intercessions for you right now, this morning. He is prepared to intercede on your behalf today. Can you believe that? Can you have faith to believe that? That's what it's going to take to believe God, faith in that. And Christian, are you living a consistent life that is pleasing to God? Well, we're not going to match up with Enoch. Enoch is an exception, isn't he, in the Bible? But that story is written in its very important place there. But it shows us what a life that is pleasing to God accomplishes. He walked with God for 300 years, and God translated him that he should not see death. And all we know about him was that he pleased God. Do you know what? That's enough. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word today. And I pray that our lives today, that the same could be said about us, that our lives are pleasing in your sight. And Lord, as we approach the hour of decision, if we need to deal with that today, if there's things in our lives that are not pleasing in the sight of God Almighty today, Lord, help us to get rid of it. And Father, if we've not yet come to faith in Jesus, I pray that you'd throw a mustard seed our way today, and that some poor lost soul would grab that mustard seed and faith would spring forth. Faith in Jesus Christ, in His death, burial, and resurrection, saving faith that is pleasing in your sight. Lord, help us all to strive that it could be said of us, they leave this testimony behind, that He pleased God. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Jack, if you'll come today, we're going to have a song of invitation. Call your decision day. Could the same be said about you that was said about Enoch? All we know about him, in the end, the most important thing was that he pleased God. Let's stand together this morning and have a word of invitation. If you're here today, you need to respond to the Word of God. You need to be saved. Maybe you need to be join the church. Maybe you need to say, I want to be baptized. What the things that are pleasing to God, do you need to respond in any area of your life? Shall we sing, Brother Jack?
32.